So welcome to the inquiry. Once again, I'll state the form. There's an invitation for one of you to join me on this empty cushion here. Not right now, in a moment. I invite you to come with a question, and the question will be explored together. Those of you listening are helping the exploration with your attention. We'd ask that you listen very attentively, both inwardly and outwardly. So listening to what is being said, listening also to what is not being said, and listening to the movements of your inner life, whether you are perhaps enjoying what's being said, whether what's being said is a question you have, whether you have a lot of empathy or resonance, or perhaps you have another whole commentary going where you are deciding what Radha should be saying, or thinking, oh, that's too psychological, or oh, that's too philosophical, and so on. So sometimes we have a commentary going within us, which is perhaps being critical, perhaps not. Sometimes we're being very analytical or evaluating. So check out what's actually occurring in your heart and mind as you listen. But the Buddha and those who followed his teachings were known as the noble ones with empathy, those who listened. And so I'm asking you to have empathy for what is being said. Usually the question comes from some kind of suffering or some kind of confusion. Not always, but sometimes. And listen rather deeply. So listening with the heart, not just with the ears. At any time during the inquiry, you may say thank you and leave. At any time during the inquiry, I may say thank you and you also leave. There's a recording. If you wish for that to be turned off, just say so and it will be turned off. In between each inquiry again, some quiet time. Then I'll ring the bell and ask for the next person. So let's begin with just a few 30 seconds of quiet to make sure we are each rather centered. Yes, anybody? Oh, yes. Come, yes.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. My name is Lali.
Welcome.
I feel like there's so much time of my life is spending on feeling better. Like most of the time of the day goes on feeling better, and try to fix myself, to raise myself, and a little bit time is left for functioning and working, and it's so hard. Sometimes I think like all my life is all just fixing what's so disturbing me. Like
okay.
It's very hard. And the first day of the retreat, I thought, why doing it? So, like, what's the point? All the time, like, trying to fix something that is not good.
Okay. Who decided that it wasn't good?
Because I'm always trying to change myself to feel better. So
yes, yes.
It's not better. It's
okay.
Not good.
Yes, yes.
As it is.
Okay, so come right now to just as you are. Just as you are, completely and utterly. Not trying to make yourself better or to say something clever or to get the right answer, but just you as you are, completely and utterly, right now. Tell me what you experience. Yes, so you're experiencing pain. Where is the pain? Is the pain felt in the body?
In my tears.
The tears are not the pain, my dear. The tears are your heart, expressed as water. It's the love coming out of your eyes.
I don't know. I don't feel it anywhere in my body.
Okay. So it's mental pain.
Yeah.
It's mental anguish. Okay, so that is the first thing to see, that the pain you're experiencing is on a mental level, and this mental level is being added to reality. Okay, so what are the thoughts that make up that difficulty? If you were to just tell me what the little one-line thoughts are.
I have an example.
Yes.
Today on the retreat, the walking meditation.
Yes.
I walked.
Yes.
And it was sun on my face, and it was so joyful.
Oh.
But
hey, a moment of joy. Where there wasn't any pain.
But.
But.
Then I turned around.
Yes.
And I saw my shadow.
Oh.
And I was like, oh my God.
How symbolic.
So
how symbolic. I saw my shadow. Yes.
Yeah.
And. What was the shadow?
I'm big and I don't like my body.
Oh.
I don't know how I look.
Okay, who in this call has ever looked in the mirror or at their body and said, I don't like my body or how I look? Ah, whoops, whoops.
But it's not helping me to, I know everyone's maybe happy.
Oh, okay, so it doesn't help you that it's a common thing. Okay, all right. So the eye was, you were incredibly happy because you weren't thinking about yourself. You felt the sensation. So this is being present, okay? It's the touch of the sun on your face. And for that moment, there wasn't any problem anywhere. So this is the key, okay? You weren't thinking about the touch of the sun on your face. You were being with just touching, okay? Just that warmth. And then, naturally, through the body, comes incredible joy. How beautiful. This is who you are.
But it's so hard to get to that moment.
Oh, yes. Indeed, that's why we
so
agonize day after day, sitting and walking and sitting and walking. It's not fun sometimes. Okay, And we need this practice because mostly we don't see or feel just the touch. Instead, we're wrapped up with seeing our shadow and not liking the size of our shadow. And therefore, not liking the size or shape of our body. And so, when we don't like something, what comes next? So, I don't like the shadow, I don't like the size of my body. The joy disappears. And then what comes?
Sadness.
Yeah, I don't like myself. I don't like how I am. So this is the sense of I, you see, lands in the world of thought and says, I don't like how I am. It lands on the body and says, this is me and this is my body. It's just a body, like anyone else's. It is a body. We do not control the size and shape of our body. To a tiny extent we can, but mostly the body is as it is. The shape, the size, tall, short, small, big.
When I was a child,
yeah?
A lot of years, children were laughing about me and my
yes.
body. So
yes.
They were bullying, and those voices, like,
yes.
laughing about me. It
yes.
always appears like I'm not good as I am. I don't look good. So
this becomes the internalized voice of criticism, doesn't it? So the inner critic is saying over and over, based on the memory from the past of the children who teased you, and the pain is transferred to the present. If it's any consolation, I was teased like that too, and it's agonizing. But there was a point in my life where I said, do I want to live bound to that? And the answer was no. So, a decision needs to be made here. Are you going to live according to this memory from the past, from the children, who bullied and teased and which has been internalized, and now you're being the voice of criticism. It's no one else in the hall, just you. Are you going to live bound to that?
I know I have a choice to decide how to feel sometimes.
Yes.
I don't like to feel sad, but sometimes I just so, like, natural
yes.
to feel sad and remember all those thoughts. Like, I don't want to, but it just feels comfortable to feel like that because it's all those years.
Exactly. It is a habit and it is the known. It is what you know from the past. There is freedom from the mind of habit. You touched it today when the sun, you noticed the sun touch your face and suddenly there was joy. So, what are you going to do? Live according to habit or be free? Yes. Yes. Of course you want to be free. That's why you made the pilgrimage from there to here. Well done. Well done. Okay. So here you are, as you are. Could you change this dislike you have for yourself?
Sometimes I'm changing it. I'm working on it all day.
Okay. I'm wondering if the working on it is actually contributing to keeping it in place. The the kind of determined, pushing, striving, working on it. I have to change. I have to be how I would rather be, not as I am. We heard in the Dharma talk today, we have the gap. And while ever we're saying, I don't want the gap, thank you, we're actually kind of keeping it there because we have that distance from ourselves. There's a kind of another way. There's another way. And it's to be with that which we see, hear, smell, taste, and touch. And to be with our thought, but not claiming it as me and mine. And that's the tricky bit. So you have a thought. Comes and goes, doesn't it? Sometimes the thoughts feel really painful. When they feel really painful, it's because we've gripped them with the mind. Your turn.
Because I don't love myself usually.
Yes.
I picked a job working at home, so I'm a lot with my thoughts. So.
Oh. So you've withdrawn from the world.
Yeah. I'm kind of like. I love to be with people, but.
Oh. Okay. Look. There's plenty of them. Okay. You'd love to be with people, but.
But. Sometimes I don't feel like anyone can love me as I am.
Yes. So the very painful thought is, I'm unlovable as I am. Do you think that's true?
No.
Exactly. It is just a thought. I'm sitting here with you and there is nothing unlovable about you. In fact, you're being incredibly lovable. You're speaking what is, you know, must be very difficult to say. You have tons of courage. And I really think it's important you don't withdraw from the world. Could you just start to love yourself a little bit? A tiny bit. We'll help you. Could you love yourself a little bit? Because it isn't true, as you just said, that you're unlovable.
Yes, I can. I love myself. And I do love myself sometimes, but
okay.
It's not enough.
Okay. So next time you see your shadow, what are you going to do?
I don't like to see my shadow.
Okay.
Or myself in the mirror.
Okay.
Mostly here, because at my home I put makeup on and dress differently from here, and here I'm all natural and it's more difficult to see myself naturally.
Okay.
Without makeup and pretty clothes.
Absolutely fine clothes. I think we're matching. And there's no rule against makeup on retreat, by the way. Okay. So, you could love yourself a little bit now. When you see the shadow next, what are you going to do?
Hi, shadow.
Yeah. Exactly. And then what?
It's you again.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And how symbolic is that for all the therapists in the room? Hi, Shadow. It's you again. And then you say, what the Buddha said when things occurred to him, he called all of those challenging negative things were known as Mara. And he said, Mara, I know you. So negativity, I know you. Hi, Shadow. You know this movement of mind to the negative, and you don't need to be bound to it anymore. That's the way through. It's truly the way through. And then if you can loosen the grip on the self-criticism, life will be much better, because you criticize yourself much more than anybody else ever does. Don't you? Yeah. And the inner critic is the inner terrorist. It's the one who terrorizes us.
The inner bully.
Yes, the inner bully. Exactly, exactly. So right now, come back to just sitting here and looking around. Mm-hmm. What do you see?
Smiling people.
Yeah. What else?
What do I see?
Yeah.
Smiling eyes, smiling places.
Yes. Yeah. And they might even like you a little bit. Exactly. So please have the courage to be with others and not hide away this lovely, wonderful woman that you are. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. I can't remember who was next. Yeah, over here. Only in Israel are there more than, are there a whole lot of people who want to come at once. I love it.
Hi.
Hi. What's your name?
Sarah.
Sarah.
Thanks for coming to Israel, by the way.
Oh, my pleasure.
You're just like an angel sitting up here talking to all of us. Actually, I have two questions. I have to pick one, though, right?
Let's do one.
They're not quite related, so.
Yeah, let's do one.
Okay, I'll pick the more relatable one then. How do you tell, like, the difference between? Okay, so the Dharma is teaching us that we're teaching us, like, accepting everything and absorbing all experiences into the body. But how do you balance that with, like, maintaining your boundaries? Like, how do you know when to sit in yourself and be peaceful with what's going on, and when to say, hey, you did something that wasn't cool and I didn't like it, and don't do it again?
I don't see that's much of a problem in Israel. it's not kind of in the culture to hold back.
That's true, but if you're stuck being spiritual, like...
Yes, I understand the question. I'm making a joke.
That's true.
Okay. So, did I say to accept everything?
I've heard it from other Buddhist sort of lines of Buddhist schools of thought. I'm not saying you specifically.
I think it's important to be with our direct experience. But, of course, in this life there are things that happen which I would say are quite unacceptable. And those things are usually violent things or abusive things or things that cause harm. And that's when we need to take a stand, clearly, don't we?
Yes.
Okay. How would you know when to do that? What would the knowing be within yourself?
I guess if I felt a very, very like clear and strong anger that I couldn't sit with, maybe, I don't know.
Maybe, maybe not, because a clear and strong anger may have come from somewhere else.
Yeah.
And
so I'm also meaning like in like personal relation, especially in personal relationships, like with a partner or a parent or friend or something like.
Is there another way rather than waiting for the anger to burst forth? Because I think that's probably not a wise proposition. But if you're saying if there's intense feelings in the inner world, that could be a signal that there's something that needs addressing. Okay? What would the knowing be? When would you think it's appropriate to say something?
I would usually only, I would feel more comfortable saying something to someone that I knew very well. If it was a stranger, it would be hard.
Okay. Are there some particular limits that you are not setting and you feel you it would be wise to set in your life? And what would they be?
See, that's the thing. I don't know until they happen. Like, all kinds of weird stuff will happen. And I'll be like, I didn't even know to tell you not to do that thing. It's so weird. You should have known. Like,
okay.
Like, my dad, he mailed my passport to me, and he didn't put a tracking number on it.
Yes, okay.
And so I was really mad at him about that. But that's an example. Like, I didn't.
Did the passport arrive?
No, it didn't arrive.
Oh.
That's why I was so mad, actually.
Okay. Okay, so Dad's in the bad books.
Yeah, he is. He knows.
Any compassion for somebody who makes a mistake?
Only if it's my dad.
Okay. Okay, so Dad's forgiven, is
Dad,
he?
Yeah, he's okay now.
Okay, all right. He survived.
But it'll be something like, I call someone and they don't call me back. That makes me really mad.
Okay. So.
But then you don't want to call them again to be like, why didn't you call me? Because they already didn't call you. So you're like, well, maybe they don't want to talk to me, but I'm calling them, and it's very mixed up in my mind.
Okay, so it's sounding like there's perhaps an issue with dealing constructively with your feelings. Because if someone doesn't call you back, the feeling is one of hurt or rejection, isn't it?
Yeah.
So how would you deal with that? Yeah, what would be a good way?
I don't know. Talk to go to some other friends who love me and spend time with them, or...
Yeah, or check it out. Ask the person, did you just forget to call me back, or would you rather not have me in your life?
Yeah. I guess I could ask.
So being straightforward, saying what you feel, saying, I felt hurt when you didn't call me back. Is there some reason you didn't call me back? Ask.
Okay.
So if we accept everything, to get back to your question, if we just say, oh, I'm going to accept everything that there is in the world, we could be a bit submissive, couldn't we?
Yeah.
Or we could find ourselves in a very powerless position. Mm-hmm. That doesn't sit well with me.
No.
And neither should you.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to get to know ourselves, and we need to communicate, because we can't expect the other person just to know. We need to communicate what it is that we require or would like, and then we talk about it and discuss it, rather than wait until it's explosive and we can't manage the feeling world.
Okay, that sounds good. Is there a time when you don't need to do that, though?
Don't need to do what?
To communicate about feeling hurt about someone else's actions.
Well, it depends how thick-skinned we are, really. But I think everybody I know, I can't think of an exception,
mm-hmm.
still needs to say and communicate if there's something happening, you know, in a relationship with someone we love or who's close to us. It just makes complete sense to talk about it to me. I'm a therapist, you see. Yeah, because we have to take an emotional risk to show ourselves, to say, oh, this is what I'm feeling, this is what's happening for me, this is the conclusion I'm drawing from your actions.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Yes, anybody? Oh. Yes, we've got time. Yes, anybody? Yes, come.
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Gadi.
Yes.
And so I'll just start talking and we'll see what the question that is for. And it's related to the talk Ron gave today.
Yes.
About seeing something going from here to there, to another place, to another experience, something that wants a different thing, and it's very clear sometimes in the thought that it's doing that. And then something can let go and comes back, and then there's some relief. And it's just can be pretty obvious. But I find other times when there is, maybe it's about identification with something else than thought, that it's just something contracted in the body, or, and like there is no thought related to it, no story. It's just something that is, seems like it's just there, and I'm wondering if it's just not seeing, maybe there's a more subtle story or view or something like that, or is it just, I don't know, something else. always a view that makes suffering, or is there just a different way?
Wherever there's clinging, there's suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And when we feel this, when you feel this contraction in the heart, what then happens?
I guess there's a resistance.
There's a resistance? Is there any claiming of this as you? Is the identity bound up with this is my pain?
Maybe that's what's not clear, like how the identification feels, or how does it...
Yes.
Because it's not speaking itself out.
Yeah.
It's not... it's more...
Yeah. So there's a sensation in the chest area,
mm-hmm.
of tightness, of contraction, and sometimes we don't know what it's about. Is it there now?
Now it's in many different places.
Okay.
Well, also in the
Where?
Jaw.
In the jaw, yeah.
Chest.
Mm-hmm.
Also in the abdomen a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So be with
and
it.
The diaphragm.
Yeah. So be with it right now, please.
Mm-hmm.
And please describe to us what it feels like.
Tension.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, many of the kinds of movements also in the body, but it's basically feels like contraction and tension.
Is there tightness?
Yeah.
Okay. Take loving, tender attention to the tightness. What happens?
It's just more movement, more like
pulsing?
Yeah, just some warmth a little bit.
Okay, warmth, movement. And then next question, closing your eyes again.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a belief or a thought associated with this?
Not one that I see.
Ah, wait, wait, too impatient.
Okay.
What are you experiencing?
Just the same, I don't know.
Okay.
Just feeling the body.
Okay, so you're just feeling the body.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want that feeling to go away?
Right now, no. I don't, no.
No? So you're happy with the contraction?
I don't know if I'm happy with it, but it's okay to experience it right now.
Yes. Now, no one said that freedom didn't mean we wouldn't feel discomfort sometimes. So we can have enormous freedom of the self and of the being. But in the body, there can be sometimes tightness or discomfort. It becomes problematic when we say, this is my body, and I don't know what this is.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want it to be different. and I try to force something to happen that isn't happening. So, you're a yoga teacher. What do you know about the body?
Not much.
Ah, okay. All right.
But it's it does whatever it wants, basically.
Yeah, so we don't have control
yeah.
over it. And so I'm wondering if
mm-hmm.
the sense of I is wanting to have control over
mm.
what happens in the body. Yes?
I don't know. Sometimes, but I feel more it's about wanting to have control about other things, and then it appears as tension in the body.
Yes. So it's wanting to control what? The external world?
Yeah.
Okay.
Circumstances.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what do you know about that?
It's hopeless.
Yes, it's a hopeless case.
I still try.
Yeah, so, okay, well seen. So the tension inwardly is the result of trying to control the external world,
mm-hmm.
which is, we can't control it, can we?
It seems sometimes that we can, I guess that's why we keep trying. Keep trying.
Oh, tell us, what can you control?
Kind of like what Sarah said, someone is doing something else, we can tell them to stop.
Yes,
and
that's a tiny bit of the whole cosmos, isn't
okay.
it?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. So the I wants to control, and when there's, we realize that there's no control, there's a kind of anxiety, if you like.
Yeah.
And the more anxious we become, the more controlling we become, and then the more controlling we are, the more internal tension we feel.
Yeah, I see that happening.
Yes. So, what to do? Where's the freedom in that? We see the loop. It's just circular.
I don't know, I feel like there's something that has to really see again and again that there's no control, otherwise it just doesn't stop.
So we have to see the truth of things, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
And when we see the truth, we're freed up. When we directly experience here and now the truth of things without the addition of what we want, how we'd like it to be, or without seeing it as me and mine, then the truth of things is some contraction in the body that's not terribly problematic. But if we go on trying to control everything externally, the contraction in the body, I promise you, will become very problematic. Hmm. So it's to see sensation as sensation, the body as the body as organic life, rather than as me and mine, and how I would like it to be.
Yeah, I feel like the contraction is, like there is the contraction and then somehow it's connect to a story and then I try to do something about that story.
Yes. So we're all the time trying to fix things and shift
mm-hmm.
things and maneuver rather than to be with what is.
Yeah.
So when you are with what is in your body,
mm-hmm.
is there any significant difficulty? A bit of tension?
Yeah,
okay.
Tension.
Another way.
Okay.
Right now,
mm-hmm.
let go of controlling the external. right now. Give up holding to your view of how the world should be.
I don't know if I can do it.
Oh.
There is some, there is fear.
Yes. Okay. And the fear is what?
Another sensation.
Yeah, yeah, it's another sensation, but fear is more than another
mm-hmm.
sensation.
Okay.
Fear is constructed with thoughts. What are the thoughts? If I let go
mm-hmm.
of trying to control, what will happen?
I don't know. I don't see like a storyline or just words. It just doesn't feel safe to me.
Yeah, so if I let go,
mm-hmm.
what? Try it and see.
To let go?
Yeah. Just let go. Oh, look.
It's like standing on the edge of a cliff.
Yes.
Jump.
Into the abyss.
Now it feels like falling.
Yes. And we fall into freedom. It's not you that will die, it's the fear. Take the leap. Let's just sitting together for a few minutes, sit together, rather. When we no longer cling to our identity, who we think we are or ought to be. When we no longer are bound by our desires or caught up in our fixed views, there's the capacity to take the leap to an extraordinary freedom. Thank you, each of you, for your good-hearted attention. And it's almost 25 past. What time would you like to start? A quarter to? A quarter to nine. So they'll be walking for the next 15, 20 minutes, a walking meditation. And then at a quarter to nine, there'll be a guided meditation on forgiveness practice.